Here's a word many of us don't want to hear or say: incontinence. The condition is rarely mentioned, but can be a quality of life issue and often misunderstood. We continue our series about health, aging, and quality of life in cooperation with the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences with a conversation about incontinence. We recently talked with Laurel Sexton, assistant professor at UAMS in the physical therapy department with a specialization in pelvic health therapy, about incontinence.
So the actual definition of incontinence would be the loss of urine. We certainly have other things that can be associated with that. People complain of urgency or frequency and not have a loss of urine, but incontinence itself is the actual loss of urine.
Are there signs, symptoms that, I don't know, incontinence is a possibility in your life? Are there things to pay attention toward?
Sure. That makes me think of what's normal, right? What kind of urine habits are normal and what things are not normal? Because I think there is some misunderstanding around what's normal about urinary incontinence and what's not. So first off, there's three different basic kinds of incontinence. And one of them is called stress urinary incontinence. And then the basis behind that is that you're going to leak usually small amounts of urine with activity. So maybe when you're jumping on the trampoline with the kids, or you're running for exercise, lifting weights, even just coughs and sneezes, but you're doing something and usually it's small amounts that are lost. The second kind is urge incontinence. And urge incontinence is more of a, I have an urge to go, but I can't get to the bathroom on time. I tend to leak some urine on my way to the bathroom. And then the last one is a mixed incontinence. So it's kind of a mix of those two. There's certainly other kinds, but those are the three main ones that we see. And so when you're looking at, do I have incontinence or not? Can you get to the bathroom on time? And are you leaking any urine with activity? But then the other part of it is for you to say, is this normal? And I think one of the misunderstandings in society is that incontinence is normal in some populations. And then those people aren't getting the treatment that they could get. And the treatment, why is treatment important? Treatment's important because it's a quality of life. We have people that, you know, they know where every bathroom is. And so they're running to the bathroom. They go to the bathroom before they leave the house. So they feel like the life revolves around the bathroom. They won't go to church. They won't go to social activities because they're afraid of the smell or that leakage may happen. So it impacts their life. They may quit going to the gym and exercising. So that's why we want to treat it. And those populations that probably don't realize it's not normal is after having a child.
Postpartum,
absolutely. One of the most common kinds of incontinence and one of the common things that women experience after having a baby is stress urinary incontinence. So having some urine leakage when they're doing an activity. And unfortunately, they feel like, you know, everybody says this happens after I have a baby. So I guess that's just me. And they tend to just accept it, that that's the way that it's going to be. And there's actually a lot of things that we can do, conservative treatment that we can do to help with that and make that go away in those populations. Conservative meaning outside of medications or surgery. Another population would be women that are kind of in that perimenopausal menopause time frame, because as our hormones are changing, some of the support structures for our bladder are changing. And so that can start to cause some leakage as well. Again, usually a stress incontinence, but very many things we can do conservatively to help them too. So there's no reason for them to compromise their quality of life. And another population that we don't talk about very much is our men. Mm-hmm. Our men, the prostate surgery that they get for prostate cancer often results in a stress urinary incontinence that can easily be addressed conservatively after surgery. So those are kind of there's some other populations, but those are probably the main ones that people always think this is normal and I have to live with it.
But if I'm hearing you correctly, you perhaps don't have to. You mentioned some conservative treatments. What would those include?
So if stress incontinence is the problem, one of the misconceptions is that Kegels is all you have to do. So Kegels are contracting your pelvic floor muscle, like you're trying to stop the flow of urine or gas. And people think, well, that's all I've got. So I'm just going to do some Kegels. And if those don't help, then I guess nothing's going to work. And actually, with stress urinary incontinence, Kegels are helpful, but we also have to control our pressures in our abdomen. So when our pressures, when everything's coordinated and working like it should, pressure comes up and out our mouth when we do a cough or in our exhales as we're exercising and things like that. But when our system is not controlling our abdominal pressures well, the pressure goes down. And when it goes down, it pushes on that bladder and we have some leakage. So we in physical therapy can do a lot to help people learn how to coordinate their breathing, their abdominals muscles, and their pelvic floor muscles to control their pressures so they don't leak, in addition to Kegels. With urge incontinence, it's even easier. It's super easy with urge incontinence because all that is bad habits.
Really?
So we just, yes, all that is bad habits and bad training. Your bladder is a muscle. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to the bathroom when you don't have an urge and you're drinking irritants like tea and coffee and things like that, the bladder will start to shrink down a little bit and it can't expand and hold as much urine as it's used to. And so it will start to give you really frequent urges. And then you get to where you can't control those and get to the bathroom in time. So we just educate people what's normal, what's not normal, and help them change some of their habits.
You mentioned that this is a quality of life issue. It's something that a lot of people don't want to talk about. I imagine there are people who are hesitant to bring this up with their doctor or their medical professional.
Absolutely. Some of it is this the they're embarrassed to talk about it, so they don't want to bring it up. Others maybe have brought it up before and were told that there wasn't anything that can be done in the past. But, you know, a lot of new research is out and we know there's things we can do about that now. Or maybe they've talked to some friends or family who say, well, yeah, I know, me too, but that's just the way it is. So they're either hesitant because they're embarrassed, or they've said something before and others have said, well, I think this might be normal. So we just have to get the word out.
Laurel Sexton is an assistant professor at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences in the Physical Therapy Department with a specialization in pelvic health therapy. She talked with us via Zoom as part of our ongoing conversation about health, aging, and quality of life in cooperation with UAMS.